You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. On this podcast, we're discussing current events from a biblical perspective. And this episode is being released on March 4th, 2021. I've decided to make a minor change to the format of the podcast. We're still going to be discussing current events from a biblical perspective, but instead of covering three stories very briefly, as we have been in most of these episodes, what I've decided to do is instead focus on one story each week and spend more time talking about the Bible and how it relates to the topic under consideration. Now, I may still do episodes occasionally that cover multiple stories that really don't need to be talked about as in-depth as some of the other ones we're going to talk about, possibly like a roundup of new stories at the end of the month. But for now, I think I'm going to plan on discussing one news story for most weeks. So hopefully this will be an improvement. It's all an experiment. So if you have any feedback one way or the other, whether you like this better or like the other way better, feel free to send that to me. And I'd be more than happy to get whatever feedback that you have. Now, this week, what we're going to be talking about is the rising number of young Americans who identify as LGBT, which stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. Most people, I think, now know what that means, but there are sometimes we have to explain that. Me and my wife were recently talking to our kids about this, and we had to explain what those letters mean. So that's what we're going to be talking about here in our episode today. For links to this story that we're going to be discussing, as well as other related materials, you can check out the show notes that will be available at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/030421. So now for the news story this week. Dramatic shift. 1 in 6 young Americans now identify as LGBT. From Discern, says Gallup's most recent update on LGBT identification in America shows a massive increase in the number of young people who claim an LGBT identity. Almost 1 in 6 adult members of Generation Z, which would include those aged 18 to 23, claim to be something other than heterosexual, with 15.6% of the entire Gen Z demographic self-identifying as LGBT. That accounts for an enormous increase over the, quote, traditionalists. And that, when they use the word traditionalists, they're talking about those who were born before 1946. Go back to the quote from the article. Increase over the traditionalists that registered at just 1.3% LGBT. Within this large LGBT contingent of Generation Z, almost 3/4 claim that they are bisexual, by far the largest subset within the LGBT acronym. When extrapolated outward, that means that just over 11% of all Americans aged 18 through 23 claim to be bisexual. Another 2.1% claim to be gay, 1.4% lesbian, 1.8% transgender, and 0.4% some other gender. And that's the end of the quote from the article. You can read the rest of the article at the link in the show notes. Now, the news story also includes a chart from Gallup that breaks down the percentages by generation. I also have that included in the show notes. So whether you go check out the show notes or the article, you'll see that chart. But just for so we can discuss it here on this episode, here's how the numbers break down. You have five generations that are discussed as far as how this trend is moving along. You have traditionalists who were born before 1946, baby boomers from 1946 to 64, Generation X from 65 to 80, millennials from 1981 to 96, and Generation Z 1997 to 2002. Now, Generation Z typically includes more than that, but this study focused on adults, so it only includes part of Generation Z, those who are 18 to 23. Now, those who identify as LGBT have risen every generation. 1.3% for those born before 1946, 2% for baby boomers, 3.8% for Generation X, 9.1% for millennials, and 15.6% for Generation Z. So you have a massive increase. Each generation, the number increased by at least 50%. And so how much higher is this going to get? Let's, as we think about this, underestimate. And for you math people out there, you can double check my figures and see if I've calculated this right. But based upon the information in that article from the Gallup survey, if we underestimate each generation increased by 50%, let's just take that, or at least 50%, let's just take that as the baseline. If 15.6% of Generation Z identifies this way, the next generation, if we increase by 50%, would be almost 24%. The generation after that would be almost 36%, so more than a third. Or, if we want to calculate this another way, we could use the increase from Generation X to Generation Z in the Gallup survey, 3.8% to 15.6%, which was an increase of over fourfold. That would put the percentage at the same rate for two generations from now, which would be my grandkids. The percent that would identify as LGBT at that same rate would be around 66%. Now, for the sake of our children and grandchildren and the future of the church, we cannot ignore what is going on here. So I want us to consider a few points based upon this trend and where all of this is headed. First, this is a symptom of our society's departure from a biblical worldview. And this is, I don't think, surprising to any of us. But we need to understand this happens when society moves away from a biblical worldview as its foundation. Because the Bible very clearly defines homosexuality as sinful and as being contrary to nature. Three passages for us to be reminded of on this point. Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Paul said, "For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error." Now, notice how Paul described the practice of homosexuality in those verses. Degrading passions, unnatural, indecent, and error. This is not something that is normal. It's not something that is wholesome. It is contrary to nature and to God's design. And as Paul explained, where he said they receive in their own persons the due penalty of their error, it is harmful to the ones who practice it. So it is not something that is good or loving or helpful for us to just think that this is a good and normal and wholesome activity. It is harmful to the ones who practice it. Another passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor violers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." In that passage, Paul explained that homosexuality is one of the sins mentioned that will prevent one from inheriting the kingdom of God or being saved by Him. It's not the only sin that would prevent this, but it is one of the sins that would prevent one from entering the kingdom. However, Paul said in that verse, verse 11, "Such were some of you." There were some in the church at Corinth who practiced sins like these, but they were able to be saved. They were able to be part of the kingdom because they abandoned these practices and turned to the Lord and to his ways, which people can still do today. Then the third passage, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Realizing the fact that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and immoral men, and homosexuals, and kidnappers, and liars, and perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. Again, homosexuality is included in this list of sins, just as it was in the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and in the broader context of Romans 1, beyond what we just read, it is included in a list of sins. It is, as Paul said, contrary to sound teaching, and is practiced by those who are lawless and rebellious to the will of God. Now, that's what the Bible teaches, not everything the Bible teaches, but we get the picture of what the Bible teaches about homosexuality. On the topic of transgenderism, because that's part of, it's a small part, but part of that LGBT movement is transgenderism. The Bible also addresses this and shows us that God makes people either male or female. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. People are either male or female because God made them that way. Not because they choose or decide or become some gender at some point in their lives. This is how God made them. Another passage, Matthew 19, verses 4 and 5. Jesus said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So this is Jesus speaking. Some like to claim that Jesus said nothing to condemn homosexuality or anything like that, yet he did that in this passage. In passages like this, by God's design, marriage is for one man and one woman. Plus, on this idea of transgenderism, the man and woman were created that way by God. He did not create them, and then they later decided their gender. He made them that way. Now, we can hope and pray that people will turn back to the Lord, that our society will in large part do this, and we can work to try to make that happen through our influence and through our teaching. But whether it happens or not, as we've seen with those statistics that we talked about, how this trend is continuing where more and more people are identifying this way, in all likelihood, that's just going to continue. And so even if people don't turn back to the Lord, we need to be standing firmly on what God teaches. Because again, this is a symptom of the fact that our society has departed from a biblical worldview. The second point that I want us to notice from this is that this is a learned behavior. Homosexuality is a learned behavior. For all of the arguments that people are, quote, born this way, these numbers that we see in surveys and polls like this simply do not suggest that people are just born this way. Behavior changes shifting this dramatically do not happen as a result of genetics that are passed on from one generation to another. This is a learned behavior, and our society is pressuring the younger generation to learn it. We can also see the same type of thing in the Bible, the same type of learning in the example of Sodom back in Genesis chapter 19. After Lot welcomed the angels, and you can go back and read about this in Genesis chapter 19 to get more of the context, but in that chapter, after Lot welcomed the angels who were there in the appearance of men, who had come to visit the city, the text says, in verses 4 and 5, before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? bring them out to us that we may have relations with them. And they were talking about sexual relations with them. Now, notice what the text said. It said, all of the men of the city, both young and old, they were engaged in this practice of homosexuality. That's not the result of genetics, or else the population of this city could not carry on from generation to generation, or it would not have been passed on in that large degree. This is not genetics. For the majority or for all to practice this, it had to have increased that way over time. So how long until our society or certain areas of our country, how long until they will be like Sodom? Think about how this has increased over five generations. In all likelihood, it's going to continue to increase, possibly more dramatically than it has up till now, even though that may be hard for us to imagine. But we have to understand this is a learned behavior, and more people, and again, younger generations are the ones who are being indoctrinated in this way, and society is pushing them in this way, more and more are learning it. And so we are going to be more and more facing a society that looks more like Sodom than what we remember from a generation or two ago, or what we grew up with. The third point that I want us to think about, and this is the final point that we'll talk about, is that more and more young people are going to be pressured to experiment with homosexuality. For years, the pressure was on people to just tolerate this behavior. But now that the LGBT advocates have been so successful in getting people to tolerate this, there will now be more pressure on young people to experiment with the behavior. So if almost 16% of young adults, as we talked about those statistics, if almost 16% of young adults, or 11% who claim to be bisexual, but 16% identify as LGBT, how many high school students would identify this way? Because those 16% or almost 16%, that was just the 18 to 23-year-olds. How many high school students would identify that way? How many middle school students? And don't think that, well, no, middle school students, they're too young for that. No, they're not. How many middle school students are being pressured to identify this way or being taught and influenced to identify this way? You can be sure that there is peer pressure on kids to identify this way. This is the trendy thing. This is the cool thing. This is what everyone else seems to be doing, and everyone else is pressured to do this. If they're being pressured, and you can be sure that they are, to identify this way, then what kind of pressure are they facing to experiment with these things? If you are a parent, or even a grandparent, because you have influence too, but if you're a parent, especially of school-aged kids, especially if they are in schools that are run by the government, public schools, you need to be watching this. This is not something that you can just ignore and pretend it's not going on. You need to be watching for this. Who are the ones who are influencing your children? What are they influencing your children to do or to think or to believe? 1 in 6 of 18 by 23-year-olds identify as LGBT. What are your kids learning? And I said, you know, especially if you're in public schools, if your kids aren't in public schools, whether private school or homeschool or whatever, it doesn't mean you can just ignore this and think that it wouldn't be a problem for you. No. All parents need to be aware of this. But what are your kids being influenced to think and to do and to practice? We need to be aware and watchful for this. I'll include some links in the show notes for some related materials about homosexuality and transgenderism. And also on this last point, something that I wrote about, it was in a series about bringing up children in the Lord. And one of the articles in that series was about raising children in a wicked world. And there's especially, check out the section in that article about guarding children from evil influences. That talks about their influence with peers and school. So I encourage you to check that out as well. Raising children in a wicked world, because that's what we're doing. If we're raising children, that's what we're doing. We're raising them in a wicked world, and we don't want the world to influence them more than we, who are trying to raise them in the Lord, more than we are influencing them. So that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting and informative and ultimately helpful. For links to the news story that was cited and other relevant links, you can visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/030421. And if you know of others who would be interested in hearing this or who would benefit from this discussion, please share this with them. Also, if you see a news story that you think would make for a good discussion here on the podcast, please email that link to me, andy@plainbibleteaching.com. So thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.